Well, it's good to see you all here. I get to teach on God's gift, Holy Spirit. What we've heard earlier today, John Troyer taught man's plight Friday night. Pat Lebomski did a very good job this morning teaching believing. And Casey taught integrity of God's word. Chuck Nevins taught the keys to the word's interpretation. Kevin Gigu taught who is Jesus Christ. And Kenny Hagar taught the new birth, and I guess you all remember the previous teaching on the mystery. So that all builds up now to where we're at now about God's gift, Holy Spirit. I'd like to thank Reverend Schroyer and Christian Family Fellowship for letting me teach, because there's actually a lot of people here that are probably just as qualified, maybe probably even more qualified than me to teach up here. I mean, we've got some, people like Chuck. He does a good teach. Chuck Stempian's a great teacher. Tony Dean, we're going to get him to teach one of these things soon. And we got Wayne Clapp, John Nessel. Those guys know more Greek. They probably forgot more Greek than I know. There's a lot of other people here that probably God's working in your heart to get up here and teach. This is the body of Christ, and it's a group ministry, and we work together. You know, and that's one thing we do in our fellowships in Michigan. We get everybody to teach. In fact, we had Tony's daughter, Alondra, how old is she, 9? We had a 9-year-old teaching fellowship. She was teaching with Vicki Hughes was helping her. And we had a 9-year-old, and she did a real good job. You know, we start them young in Michigan. Teach them the word. Teach them right. It was great. I enjoyed Kevin's jokes about the architects and the engineers and stuff. Reminded me of the story when the architects always hire engineers to do the engineering, and engineers hire architects to do the building so it looks good. And the story is when the architect does the engineering, the building falls down. But when the engineer does the architecture, they have to tear the building down. Because supposedly us architects are real gifted with, we know how to make something look pretty and design. You know, we're good at picking out colors, you know, like my new shirt and stuff. But we don't always get punched the right numbers in the calculator and get the right weight loads, you know, so the building stands up. So that's why we have the engineers. But supposedly the engineers are so technical, they don't know beauty. But those are stereotypes, not necessarily true. My goal tonight, or this afternoon, it's not tonight yet, is I want to teach this topic of Holy Spirit. And I want to teach it so simply that a 12-year-old can understand it, and that 12-year-old could then master it and teach another 12-year-old. Because that's really the way we should teach the word. I mean, there's lots of times there's things we need to get into the word that are deeper, you know, maybe advanced class type material or something like that that are deeper, and sometimes it takes a little more understanding. But the foundational precepts of God, you know, getting born again, speaking in tongues, learning how to witness to somebody else so they can get born again, a 12-year-old can master that. And if we get more complex than that, where it's so complex that a 12-year-old can't understand it, then we better do a checkup from the neck up and see if what we're teaching is really the foundational precepts of God or our own arrogance and private interpretation. Because we don't want to go that other route. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 11. This is the fifth Christian ministry that I've fellowshipped with in my lifetime. When I was a little kid, the first ministry that I fellowshipped with, I didn't, you know, just went to wherever my parents wanted to go. And my dad came from a German family, came from what was East Germany. They moved over. His great-grandfather, Louis Rath, or was it great-great-grandfather or whatever? Or was, that was your father. It was my, I don't know, I get all that mixed up. Anyway, Louis Rath came over from what used to be East Germany is now East Germany in the 1850s. And that part of the world, people were Lutherans, because that's the part of the world that Martin Luther was from. And so we went to a Lutheran church. And when I was a little kid, I didn't really understand what they talk about, a Holy Ghost. I thought it was something in the closet that would go boo, scary or something. You know, I didn't know what was going on. One day, my mom, she asked the pastor a very logical question. She said, well, how can a little baby be born in sin? You know, that little baby, how can they be born if they're innocent? They've never done anything wrong. How can they be born in sin? And she didn't understand body, soul, and spirit, the original sin. I mean, it's a very logical question. And for those of us that have had classes like Power for Abundant Living or listened to some of the teachings today, we could probably explain that. That's a simple truth that you could teach a 12-year-old, and a 12-year-old could have explained it to my mom if she knew. But you know what? The pastor, he didn't know. And he was too arrogant to admit he didn't know. And so he said, that's the devil in you that's making you ask that question. You know what that is? That's remember the spiritual abuse book? He was speaking in code. What that is how dare you ask a question I don't know the answer to? How dare you? You're possessed. Get away from me. Go away. My mom and my dad had the good sense to quit going to that church. Why go somewhere where you're abused? And it's interesting, it was this day in 1517, Martin Luther nailed his 95 thesis to the door of a Roman Catholic church. And it was a great man of God started that great organization. He started something that delivered God's people. But yet, hundreds of years later, that organization had very little to do with what the original man that started it, what it was started out to be. So things can change. And I fellowship with various other ministries, and I'm real thankful to be with Christian Family Fellowship. They got water under here? It's a little dry. I'm talking so much, I'm getting dry. Vodka. Anyway, so I'm real thankful to fellowship with Christian Family Fellowship. And if it ever gets to the point where I ask a question, you know, and they give me some arrogant, abusive response, then I'll probably go somewhere else. There's thousands and thousands of ministries throughout the world, and we're not arrogant enough to think we're the only one that teaches the Word. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 11:3. It's also interesting, that incident I shared with you about the pastor, that pastor later on, he ended up in the mental institution. Yeah, he was an alcoholic, and he had several other problems. He ended up in the mental institution. And so lots of times what you give out, you eventually give out that stuff long enough, it comes back and gets you. It's also interesting, this conference today, somebody came up to me and asked me a question. You know, it was a very important question to his life. I didn't know the answer. So what did I do? I got all arrogant and said, oh, no. I just said, I don't know. But to him, it's very important. It's like the time Jesus Christ was teaching the Word and they brought the woman taken in adultery. Said, well, she did this. Moses said we should stone her. If he stoned her, he'd be doing the Word. But yet if he forgave her with the grace of God, that'd be doing the Word too. But yet both those options seem to be wrong. He didn't know what to do. There was no precedent in the Old Testament. How do you handle it? You know, there's no scripture that says, when they bring a woman taken in adultery, thou shalt, you know, do this. You know, there's no precedent for that exact unique situation. There was things that would generally cover that. There's things in the Word. He could have done several things that he could have justified with Old Testament scripture. But it's interesting. Jesus said, he's without sin, cast the first stone. He came up with a unique solution to that because he had Holy Spirit and he operated manifestations of Holy Spirit. So if we're going to walk in the foundational precepts of God, one of the things we need is we need to be able to tap in the Holy Spirit, need to operate 9 manifestations. Okay, I keep talking about 2 Corinthians 11:3. I better flip there. I love this verse. But I fear lest, and that really word fear there is I have great concern. I have great concern lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity which is in Christ. See, the Word's got to be simple. And what a lot of people have turned the Holy Spirit into is like the third person of the Blessed Trinity. You know, and I can't even find a Trinitarian that can explain that to make sense to me. You read it, and it's like, well, it's this and this, but it's this, and it's really this. And then on Tuesday when the light's shining green, and you turn left, and you got Jack of Spades in your left pocket, and you look to the full moon, then you understand, you know. It makes no sense. You have to get really complex and deeply intellectual to even approach that type of thinking. And what they did is they took the simplicity of Christianity, and they started to say, well, this doesn't explain Jesus Christ and God well enough. We need to introduce Plato and Aristotle and Socrates and all this other stuff. And then they started getting real convoluted, and it just didn't make sense.